but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I do think the coaches out there are being a little snarkier with each other than normal. Anybody else notice that? I think I can explain it, and maybe I'll ask our guest about it coming up. Bruce Barnum, Portland State coach, joining us here shortly. But, you know, Dabo Swinney and Brian Kelly kind of got in a little back and forth after their game. You had Dan Lanning and Mike Gundy mixing it up a little bit. Gundy saying, look at all the money Oregon is spending, and Lanning saying, you know, essentially, of course, like, you know, we spend it well. Spend to win. Little bit more to all this than normal. I think it's rooted in, traditionally, I think there's one area where coaches get fired up about each other. It's about recruiting. And recruiting seems to be an area where coaches will go after each other because they don't like that some coaches will paint outside the lines or paint a little differently. So the recruiting area tends to cause bad feelings. And in fact, remember a couple of seasons ago when Oregon was all kinds of fired up about Colorado? I think that was rooted in the recruiting effort that Colorado was making and how Coach Prime was positioning his program to be a national player in that recruiting space, the Louis Vuitton luggage, look at us, look at the glow of Colorado football. And I think Oregon, which kind of owned the trademark on all that stuff, was kind of pissed about it and eager to show Colorado, no, you don't. Well, I'll ask Bruce Barnum about that coming up. He's joining us now. Portland State football coach joins us every week in this segment. Bruce Barnum with us. Have you noticed a little more back and forth with coaches nationally, or what's going on?
Nationally altogether? What do you mean? What regards?
Well,
just
like a lot
squabbles?
Yeah, little squabbles. It feels like they're just more frequent. Like, it used to happen when maybe a coach ran a play at the end of the game and you had a big lead. You'd see the coaches kind of go after each other in the handshake line or whatever. But now it's like Brian Kelly and Dabo Swinney kind of fighting and Dan Lanning and Mike Gundy exchanging barbs. I'm not used to seeing that all the time.
I would say maybe two things. Money, number one. The new NIL paying players has entered recruiting, and where I think there's a ton of people doing it before, now it's legal, you know. And if you went out and a guy, because I bought him from you, and you know, you still beat me, say you beat me in a game and I bought one of your players, you know, there's all kinds of things behind the scenes during the off season that God knows where those squabbles are coming from, but I'm sure they run deep. I've heard some of them, you know, just flashes, and we beat him on this guy for whatever reason. So that's probably a big circle of it.
Bruce Barnum with us. Look, you guys lose 69-0. What is that like? What are you trying to talk to your team about at halftime? What is the bus ride over like? I have so many questions.
You know what? I'm proud of my team, John. We've lost the last two. I've had three money games, you know, and taking the brunt. It's an unfortunate reality of Portland State football. You know, when I took this job, I had to raise $1 million. The only way to do it, because I'm not going to go knocking on doors and selling brownies, we play payday games, you know, to fund the entire athletic department, not just me. And now you got all the revenue sharing and NIL and the millions out there. We're not a part of that, you know, so distinct disadvantage. But I tell you what, and I heard it from some people. Some guy wrote me a note. Somebody just sent it to me today about what he saw on the sideline and the culture. And, you know, we're getting our ass whooped. Let's be real. We're getting thumped. But my guys were fearless, John. They played with pride. The schemes were there, but they're getting blown up. I'm proud of the program. You know, I won. I got one more game to go, and I make $1 million. Which was what I was told to do. So there's reality of Portland State football. You know, it gets fun around here. You got to keep them healthy, getting through these games. Knock on wood, but when I face guys with similar resources and, you know, later in the season, you know, that's our level. That's who we are. We're last week. And I heard some of the comments this week. Oh, he's got some guy in the video killed the radio star. Oh, you know, we can't keep up with that. He's got $5 million in his offensive line and defensive line. You know, and my guys aren't worried about the car. My guys are excited. You know, we had Tortoise Tuesday. They got a free breakfast sandwich this morning with some hash browns. So it's just different. It's a different level, but it's our reality. And it makes you Portland State tough. You know, some guys can't handle it. I mean, coaches and players, they don't make it through this. It's not easy. But when you win, it's the best damn win over Dabo or DeBoer. He's not winning a lot. Whoever. When you win at Portland State. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
I ramble for you.
It does make sense. I also think, you know, how do you judge the job that you do, given that you look at the beginning of that schedule, and let's just, you know, not even looking at this year, we go back and we see games that you have coached, these money games over the years. You won one at Washington State, but, you know, even if you go back to, like, 2023, you play Oregon, you play Wyoming, you know, go back a few years, you know, you're not winning those games at Washington State, at Hawaii. Not usually you're winning those games. So how do you judge the job you did at the end of the year? Do you have to separate those payday games from the rest of it, or how do you view it?
Well, yes, and you also, at this level, you have to go, what are you creating? Are you keeping them together, you know? How is your team? Are they splintered? Because when you're 0-2 and at a disadvantage like that at the beginning of the season, the easiest thing to do is bitch, right? Everybody can bitch. Now they got the internet to bitch on, you know, and now it's easier yet. But if that's what your locker room becomes, you're not going to make it to the real part of our season, the big sky, you know. So here it's a little bit of a coaching, teaching by all my people, my captains, my assistants, the village. I say the village, the people that work in the athletic department, you know, because the money is getting worse. It's creating worse of a disadvantage. You know, look at when we won those games. That was before all this stuff, and that's some of the programs that maybe didn't have as much money as others that we beat that year. You know, because like it or not, you can trace it to facilities. You know, how do you get players? Now you get players, not because it used to be recruiting. The guy did a study. You'd have to go back. It was the relationship with the coach and the facilities. That's why recruits chose a spot. You say goodbye to that, you know. Now it's how much you got, coach. You know, what are you giving me? So it's a total new landscape. Problem is we're falling a little bit behind here, so I have to keep them together in some regards. I think my guys appreciate the little things probably more possibly than at other universities.
What are the little things? What are the little things?
Well, things that when we go on the road, I try to treat them like a Division I, John. We stay at nicer hotels. When they give me the menu for our Friday night meal, pregame, you know, they say, what do you want? You want this and this? You want this? And I say all of it. trying to treat them like being a part of a travel team, being starting, you know, being that guy. Your role right now is to start. It's something special, you know. I try to give them everything I can with my resources. Is that enough? No, not for all. And now add to it. We're kind of the AAA club. I mean, it was kind of cool, you know, because I love the guys that come through here. I saw a 54-yard touchdown by a guy. I saw tackles by another guy. My guys are playing all over the place, you know, because of this. So we're getting hit with that part also. That's the negative of the NIL. It's biting us in the ass. And we're losing starters to other programs because people like them and they're buying them.
North Dakota played Kansas State. That's your next opponent. They played Kansas State, lost 38-35, really competitive game. What do you see on film when you look at North Dakota? That's your next opponent.
It is. And I knew Bubba Swigert was head coach there. He got the job in 15 when I did. We got hired about the same time. And they were, I'll never forget talking to Bubba. Just because we played each other those years. And they're building new facilities. They're trying to. They were making a concerted effort to match North Dakota State, which is at the top of FCS right now. And they're making a run at it, you know. So they built facilities. They raised money. They've got a lot of oil money there, I believe. So it was kind of interesting comparing with him, you know. And he's talking to me like, you know, where do you play, Barney? Where are they building the stadium? Because we played them out at Hillsboro. And I said, you know, it's down the pipe, Bubba. anyway, they're a quality program. They are strong on defense. You know, they're a good program, which is why they came that close to Kansas State.
You, health-wise, where are you guys?
John, I'm not going to make excuses to your fans. We're not in a good spot, but my trainers and doctors are trying to get me there, you know. I'm waiting on 10 guys right now are questionable for this game. I got 7 out for the season. It's not good, you know, it's not good. But I need to get those 10 back. I got 1 back today. Then I moved a freshman to tailback, and he pulled a hamstring. I'm like, come on, son. Did you not... you know, drink some water this morning and hydrate. But we're fighting through that. We're fighting through it to make sure, because we go 2 more games, and we got to have a bye week, and then we start Big Sky. So I've got 3 weeks to get those 10 healthy.
And then you got 8 games down the stretch. Really is that second part of your season. Bruce Barnum with us. All right, it'll be North Dakota on Saturday on the road, then to Hawaii on the road. Then your bills are paid, and then it's a week off, and then 8 games to finish the season, including that Big Sky home opener on September 27th.
Ready to go.
Yeah, appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
All right, anyway, one more for you.
Yeah,
for the fans, ones who look at Florida State and say, all right, the ACC Player of the Week guy, Saga Puatelis.
Yeah.
You know him.
Yeah, right? He's at Jared Keave, Saga Puatelis. His brother John is on your roster.
Oh, his brother John. I'll announce it to the fans who follow Portland State University, and you know we've had a few, but he's got to start this week.
Ooh.
So ready to go. I said, hey, you see what your brother did? I said, let's bring that to North Dakota.
All right, I am gonna.
Anyway,
I'm gonna break that news. I gotta put that out right now on social media.
Ready to go. Some network contacted him today. I don't know, something about talking about his brother. I said, talk about yourself. What the hell with your brother? You're starting here. Anyway, thanks, John.
Portland State will start the other Saga Puatelis coming up. What'd you think, Stephen? What'd you think? Bruce Barnum and his appearance on this show. I left that interview feeling like... feeling like, you know, I kind of know the plight that Portland State faces. and I think a lot of our listeners do as well. But
Barnum just had more to say. That's all he was doing. He was on the phone. He's like, hey, you done with me? You want me to talk more? Yeah. So he's ready to keep going.
No, he wanted to keep going.
Yeah, he's ready to go, John. I think he's in a positive mindset.
How though? How is that possible?
Because he knows that he's not going to win those games. And I think he's got it through his mind. Like, he understands that. Now, I will say, he didn't want to make excuses about the injuries, but then he mentioned how many guys he has injured and how it's going to be a problem. But, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. So I don't know. He did seem very positive. I thought he'd be a little more down, but he was a little more chipper than I thought he'd be.
So Jaron Chiave, Saga Pulitelli's brother, John, will get the start this week against North Dakota. You know, Bruce Barnum mixing it up. I like that. Going with the trend. Going with the trend. So there you have it. He's going to bet on Asaga Pulitelli to bail him out this week against North Dakota. We'll see how that works out. All right, coming up, I've got some thoughts about money. Let's talk about money. Nobody wants to talk about money. Well, I want to talk about money coming up. Everybody else talking about money, why not? We'll discuss it. Context matters, doesn't it? Leave it here.